The Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As Jesus reads this out loud, this scroll from the prophet Isaiah to his home synagogue, right after being tempted in the wilderness for 40 years, he then rolls it up and sits and begins to say, "Today, this scripture reading has been fulfilled in your hearing." Mic drop, right? Like, boom. Next week, we get part two to this story on how everyone in his hometown reacts to this. Spoiler alert, it's not great. But for today, this is all we get. This is all we get. And I love this story. This is my fourth time preaching the lectionary. You've been pastor long enough. And usually, I talk about how this is Jesus's mission statement. I was like, great, we're doing strategic planning. This is perfect. Jesus' mission, we're figuring out our mission. And for the Gospel of Luke, it is all about justice anyway. Justice for the poor, those on the margins. Think Mary's Magnificat, that's what launches this whole thing, lifting up the lowly, bringing down the mighty. And so here Jesus gets started with this quote from the prophet Isaiah. And then he says, this is what I'm here to do. And for the next 20 chapters, this is what Jesus does. He ruffles feathers by teaching what justice looks like, by embodying it, calling fishermen to be disciples, healing and teaching, breaking rules and purity codes, feeding the masses, the Beatitudes. It's so powerful. And it is indeed good news for those who have been cast aside. And so Tuesday morning, when I pulled these texts out, I started to think about this beautiful image of Jubilee, like forgetting of debts and release from captivity. And then a colleague reminded me there was this giant prison release this week, that those who've been convicted on January 6th insurrection on our Capitol have now been pardoned. And all of a sudden, things feel so much more complicated, don't they? For what does justice look like? Freedom of oppression. What is truth? In many ways, it feels like so many of these things have been turned upside down in just a few short days. And I, by means, am no expert of any of these things. I know most of you in this room are, right? You have jobs you can't tell me fully about. But I do know, as your pastor, that I see this movement of Christian nationalism as not a good thing. For in Christian nationalism, they will read Jesus' text today and say that our new president is filling God's promise, prophecy by doing this work, by putting Jesus in the Oval Office, that by pardoning those who stormed the Capitol building, God's justice has been served. But dear ones, God has never been a Republican or a Democrat. God never has nor will be America first. God loves the whole cosmos and calls it good. And this mission statement of Jesus is about building a beloved community where all have what they need, not based on what they've earned, but because of who God proclaims them to be. Where all have enough food, shelter, dignity, and care. Where all are seen for who they are and proclaimed good. And this is where I think the other text for today is helpful. For here Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and this church was struggling. There were members vying for power and recognition. They were building this hierarchy that looked really similar to the Greco-Roman world, where a few with money and power were at the top, and those who maybe didn't look the same or didn't have the same wealth or maybe came from a different place were lower and less than. And so Paul writes this message. For just as the body is one and has many members, all are members of the body, and though they are many, they are one body. Paul's image about a body is kind of goofy, right? I mean, he's like, does an eye want to be an ear, right? I mean, like that's why we picked the image for today, with a hand trying to be eyes. You know, googly eyes makes everything better, right? But I think it's kind of a helpful image, especially as we think about this work as strategic planning of who God is calling us to be and who is missing from our community and what do we need to build this beloved community that God is calling us to be at this time and place. For all are needed to be the body of Christ. No one person is greater than the other. Paul has this line, when one suffers, we all suffer. And it is weird to think about our bodies, and yet we worship an incarnational God. God has created our bodies and called them good, and God even put on a body for us, right? And so as we think about this, you know, the only illustration that comes to mind is I continue to live in this germ fest. Thank you, small children. And so, you know, again, I had some sinus issues this week, and the congestion in my nose meant that the rest of me didn't function as well this week. My brain felt a little more foggy. It was harder to sleep. It was harder to be a kind, patient parent. My sense of taste was muddled. You get the idea. Anyone who's gotten a blister on their pinky toe understands this concept, right? When one suffers, we all suffer. So, too, whether we like it or not, we are connected to one another. And these things around hatred and fear and deep division harm us all. And so, dear ones, no matter who you voted for in November, in these days, I've been trying to ask myself what the civil rights leader Ruby Sales often asks. Where does it hurt? Where is our community hurting? Where is God calling us to be the body of Christ in the days ahead? Because I know many in our community right now are hurting. It has been a rough week for migrants and refugees, for those who are differently abled, those who are transgendered, those who work in our federal government offices and have been asked to stay home, those who live in war zones like Ukraine, those who love the people being affected by these executive orders. The fear is running deep, and the future feels so unknown. But in these times, we have to remember that no government can save us. Only Jesus can. And he is the one that proclaims today that he has come to bring good news to the poor. Release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and declare the year of the Lord's favor. And as Jesus does this work, we will see him embody these things. We will hear these stories this year. And folks in power will be so angered by his decisions, they will plot his murder and publicly execute him for it. But we know that's not the end of Jesus' story. For the power of love will rise after 3 days in the grave and will continue to spread infectiously into every nook and cranny. And we, dear ones, are now the body of Christ. We are the ones that to carry this story of unstoppable love onward. Our work in these times is to keep being God's beloved people, where we remember our first name is beloved, our neighbor's first name is beloved, and the one we'd like to call an enemy, their name too is also beloved. And God's dream is that together we work together to care for God's creation, to work for justice and peace, to pray for the things we cannot change, and to work for a change in the ways that we can, to remember we belong to one another. I don't know what the days ahead will bring, but may you know that your love and care and safety matters, that who God has called you to be matters. May you know my office is open to you. Now, as we embark on this strategic planning work, spoiler alert, if you were already here on Friday and Saturday, you know this. But at this time, as we are discerning what God is calling us to be in this time and place for the next 3 to 5 years, we need your prayers. This is not Pastor CJ's dream. This is not the council's dream. This is our collective dream. This is who God is calling us to be. And so pray with us. And I know as Lutherans, we are so used to our prescripted prayers. When I say the word pray, you might start sweating and avoiding eye contact because heaven forbid I call on you, right? So I'm giving you some resources here. We're gonna say some prayers together, but this is one I've included on your sheet, okay? So this one comes to us from Lutheran Evening Prayer. You are praying something that has been prayed with the saints for at least decades, but I think it's a good one. But pray for us at this time. Pray for your church. Pray for our neighbors. Let's pray together for our nation and world that we find a way forward in the name of love. And let us pray it now. Oh God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love is supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.